instant coffee, right? So you want to head down there after the service. Does anybody have any prayer requests? Oh, did you have a prayer request? Barrett family? Wisdom, strength, whatever they may need at this time. And Father, I ask that you would quiet our hearts, quiet our minds to totally be able to focus on your gaze on us. And in that may we find rest, strength, and what we need. In your name, amen. Unstop our ears. Open up our hearts. For the Lenten journey begins. To walk the narrow path of discipleship. To direct our attention to heaven's song. This song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, was written by Elisha A. Hoffman, who wrote the stanza, and Anthony Showalter wrote the refrain. And they took this song from Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Anthony taught music, and he had heard that two of his students had lost their parent, their loved one. And in that grief for them, he wrote down these words that were later put. worship and proclaim you as God and Lord, King of Kings. Father, I ask that you would lift those burdens that weigh us down. I ask that you would clear our minds of all the things left undone and yet to do. And maybe it even seems like, how can I go and be in worship when there's so much to do? And yet, Lord, you call us here to quiet, to knitted hearts with friendship and with words of encouragement. So thank you for that, Lord. I do ask, Father, that you would be with us in this time of Lent. Father, it's a time to examine our own hearts. It's a time to be healed of whatever it may be we need healing from. And Lord, it's a time to confess our sins as we look to you to make us whole. So thank you for all the things that we celebrate and all the things that we walk through in the life of the church together in this time. Be with all those that need your healing. Be with all those that need your comfort. And Lord, we are so thankful that you are God and we are not. And we say that in absolute humility, that you are God. Thank you. Lord, also we ask that you would bless the offering that is brought this day. And may we realize that we never can outgive you. And so, Lord, teach us to pray as you have taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
blood stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds are hemming you in and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me." When the woman realized that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared in his presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the synagogue leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any longer." When Jesus heard this, he replied, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be saved." When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Everyone was weeping and grieving for her, but he said, "Do not cry, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called out, "Child, get up." Her spirit returned, and she stood up at once, and he directed them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astounded, but he ordered them to tell no one what had happened.
Amen. Blessed be God's word. Amazing grace written by John Newton. We found that grace. Thank you. 27. The same as when we heard about the lepers who had to go off in isolation. The same was for her. She was unclean. For her, that meant she had not been touched for 12 years. No going to the synagogue for 12 years, which was a big deal, because in those times, the synagogue was the main event of the community of families. She had no family ties, no celebrations. She was sick. She was in chronic pain. She was unable to have children and was ceremonially unclean. Oh, the depth of her shame. And I believe in her heart, she believed what she heard. You are unclean, despised. You would turn away if she walked up. And I was thinking about this in terms of when we ourselves hear one negative comment, we need five positive comments to kind of help us crawl out of the pit of that one negative one that we can kind of soar with. She wasn't getting five positives. Negative. I also thought it was very interesting some of the contrasts in this scripture. She had been bleeding for 12 years. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. The number 12 can be found in the Bible 187 times. 12 is considered a perfect number. Jacob had 12 sons. There were 12 tribes of Israel, 12 disciples. The first recording of Jesus' words were 12 years old, when the elders were amazed at his learning. Jairus, he was a household name. The woman in this scripture, we don't know her name. She had no name. She was hidden. Jairus was well known, and he was a leader in the synagogue. verse 40, it says, "Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. This occurred on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. He was returning from the ministry on the eastern side. He had calmed a storm. He had healed a demonic man." In verse 44, it says, "She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately, her bleeding stopped." The Greek word is hepto, touch. Root word which means to fasten to or to cling to. And in that, you're feeling her desperation. Jesus could have asked, "Who clung to me with their whole being in unwavering faith?" In verse 45, when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." It was a great crowd. Of course people touching him. And Peter is known to sometimes say things without thinking. But Peter loved Jesus. And Peter loved Jesus so much that he asked to be crucified upside down because he did not want to be crucified like his Savior. Now, Jesus needed to address this for a few reasons. He didn't want to be seen as a superstitious wonder worker. Instead of believing him as Savior, he wants to restore her. But he also, to restore her to the community. How does Jesus respond as touch you.